Good morning, and thank you for being here this morning. We'll start out with a few, and perhaps the rest of them will come in just a little bit later. We started last week a study of Ephesians, and this lesson is entitled The Blessings in Christ. And we talked about all the numerous blessings that are found only in Christ. And also pointed out how that I wanted you to pay particular attention in the lesson text today, how many times that it will refer to in Christ. And truly, we have to be in Christ in order to receive those spiritual blessings. They're found only in Christ Jesus. And this is the way that God had it planned before the world began. Talked about the foreknowledge of God and so forth. And I just want to kind of bring everybody back up to date just a little bit and by reading these first five verses that we talked about. And I may make a few small comments. But beginning in verse 1 of the Ephesian letter, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. The first time that we see in Christ mentioned, or in Christ Jesus, in the beloved, as we'll find out today. Verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. And we look at those things that we see in those first five verses. And certainly there's a lot of good things there. And I encourage you to continue in your study of Ephesians to remember that all our spiritual blessings come because of the blessings we have in Christ Jesus. When that worked a while ago. That's why I have a backup plan. Nothing like the good old hard copy, is there? What did I do wrong?
Hit the arrow on the right.
That's what I did, I thought.
That works.
Okay. Okay, verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption, through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Now, who is he talking about here?
Well, he goes into it more deeply. At first, he tells you that God predestined people in Christ. As simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't twist it. Now he tells you why.
Yeah. And what did we say that predestined, what's another word?
A number, it's a way.
Yeah, it's a way, it's a method. We also talk about that God chose us
through Christ.
And so we need to remember that it's a plan. It's a method that God had before the world began, that he would give mankind an opportunity, a way to be sons of God, to be a part of the family of God. And so we certainly need to remember that. We look at the Godhead and we know the grace that comes through Christ is just unfathomable. You know, worthiness, you know, no. It's because of God's grace. We can't be good enough. We can't do enough. We can't contribute enough to merit salvation. But because of what God did in sending Jesus to be that redemptive tool, if you will, that we can receive his grace and his mercy and be accepted in the beloved. Now, who is the beloved? Christ. Yes, that's who it is. We'll get more into that in a minute. We have redemption through his blood. God chose us to have an opportunity to be a part of his body, but we also have to make a choice. It is something that doesn't come automatically. God had a plan, and we have to follow that plan. So recognize that the blood of Christ is there for us, but we have to choose to enter into that watery grave in order to fulfill that final plan of God's salvation, that final act of God's salvation. And again, God wants our hearts. And that's what he's always wanted from Adam forward. He's wanted us to pour out our love to him as he has poured out his love to us. We can't fathom. We can never reach the height of the love that God has for mankind. But we can pour out our hearts and make a legitimate effort to be a part of Christ's body, to be a part of his body, the church. We have redemption. What does that mean? What does redemption mean? Because of
disobeying God, not believing him.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Redemption is bought back.
Bought back. With the sin of Adam and Eve in the garden shows the weakness, the fact that man fails.
It's exercising free will, but in the wrong way.
Yeah. Yeah. All of us are guilty of it. There's none perfect except for that perfect Lamb of God that he sent to be the perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. We have redemption. We have forgiveness. We have been bought with a price, and oh, what a price it was. The very blood of the Son of God. We have the forgiveness of sins. And you know, we talked about the blessings in Christ. All these things are blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Without him, you know, we have no hope. according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We covered this, but who is the beloved? We talked about it being Christ. What are the two times God used this term in reference to Christ? Okay, when he was baptized, and then at the Mount of Transfiguration. And said almost the same thing in both cases. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And then at the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter wanted to build the three tabernacles to Moses, Elias, and Christ, he said, "Hear ye him." And this is something that we need to always take into account. Frank Thielman said, God has chosen believers, his praiseworthy grace. Therefore, not merely by means of the beloved, again, by Christ, through his atoning death, but also in the beloved through their identification with Christ. I want to stop right there and now pick up the rest of it in just a second. Do you recognize that we as Christians are a part of his body? Doesn't say bodies. It says his body. His body, the church. And we need to always remember that is, again, a blessing that we can be in Christ, that we are accepted to God when we enter into a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. I thought all we had to do was mouth the sinner's prayer. Is that scriptural?
Well, don't you got to actually believe what you're saying?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Don't you actually have to believe what you're saying?
It's true. But there are, you know, belief is a part of it, certainly. But then there's also the repentance and the confession and the baptism. And certainly as you look at the book of Acts and the examples we have of people becoming a Christian, and in every case, that same way was followed, or else we would not be in a relationship with Christ. You know, we show our love to God by doing what he tells us to do. First of all, by becoming a Christian, then by living the Christian life. Will we do it perfectly? No. We continue to sin. You know, we're all... That's one way we're all in the same boat. We're all walking in the same shoes. We all are sinners. And it's not something that necessarily we want to do. It's something that we do. I like what Paul says when he said that the things I want to do, sometimes I don't do. And sometimes the things I don't want to do, those are the things that I do. Well, I'm in the same boat. There are times that I say and do things that I really don't want to do. I do it out of anger. I do it out of temptation. But thanks be to God that his blood, his Son's blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, can continually cleanse me. And I can have that relationship with Jesus. How do we establish a relationship with Christ? You know, by being obedient to God's plan of salvation. Over and over, we see that happening in the book of Acts. And I think as good a example that we have in the book of Acts is Cornelius. Who was Cornelius? He was a centurion, a soldier, leader of soldiers.
Well, he believed enough to where it happened.
Yeah, he prayed to God. He believed in God. He gave of his means to those who needed help. But yet there was still something that was short.
He said he wasn't even worthy for him to come to his house or something.
Yeah, that if there's any lesson that disproves the sinner's prayer, it's the lesson of Cornelius. It wasn't until Peter came and taught him more perfectly what God wanted him to do. When he heard those things that Peter taught him, he did them. He and his household, they became Christians. And that, thus, Cornelius had a relationship with Christ. We also have a relationship with Christ when we become a part of his body, the church. When we follow God's plan of salvation, we enter into that relationship through baptism, the final act of God's plan, coming in contact with the blood of the Lamb, as it tells us in Romans 6 and verse 3. Peter T. O'Brien observed in verse 7, "The redemption which we have in the Beloved has been produced through his blood. This abbreviated expression is filled with meaning and signifies that Christ's death on the cross as a sacrifice is the means by which our deliverance has been won." Without Christ's death, we would still be under the old law. And all those things that God spoke through his prophets from Genesis right up to Matthew would not have been fulfilled. But Jesus is the fulfillment of those prophecies, that there would be a Messiah who would come. And Jesus is that Messiah of promise. Our deliverance has been won at the was obtained by a very great cost. Those who are in Christ are accepted. It is through God's grace and mercy. It is his will. Again, isn't it great that we can be accepted by God in Christ, through Christ?
Well, isn't this different than all man-made religions?
Yeah.
I took the world religion at BCC back then when it was called BCC. All the other religions, man-made religions, had nothing to do with this. Made Christianity was unique because of this. Everything else depended on your efforts.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, it's just... You know, I don't mean to be rude and crude, but it's only religion that makes sense. It makes sense that we do those things to the best of our ability, that we do not purposely leave out anything that God has told us to do. It is not because we have that ability and we're so good in everything that we are given salvation. It is through the grace of God and the mercy of God. Go ahead.
Not kind of maybe looking at it a little differently, but saying it opposite of the way you said it, is the only religion that doesn't make sense because it wasn't created by man.
Okay. All right.
Who in the world would have thought God would have died for the creation?
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to man. It just shows that it has to be from God.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's a good point, that either way you look at it,
yeah,
it's God who is in charge.
It does in a way, though, because like in that Hacksaw Ridge, this guy basically sacrificed himself and to rescue a bunch of other people.
Mm-hmm.
So there is, we get a glimpse of it in people, but it's not something that people do in general.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's a... Again, God's wisdom and God's grace is just, I can't explain it. You know, the love that he has for us is just beyond comprehension. Inherited is the next section. We've been chosen. We've been accepted. Now we are also a part of the inherited. What does that, do you think that means? Yeah. Yeah. And before we could be a part of the inherited, Christ had to die. You know, in John, the 14th chapter, the first three verses there, it tells us that we have a home prepared. We have an opportunity. All of mankind has an opportunity to be sons of God. Will we accept it? We are chosen, but we have to choose also. We are accepted in Christ. Verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Again, we see the same phrase there, in Jesus, through Jesus, in him, in his, so on and so forth. But God, in his time and in his wisdom, sent Jesus. Do you ever think about that when Jesus came to this world, the world basically was under Roman control and was in peace? There wasn't a lot of wars and things like this going on, upheavals. And Jesus came and basically set the world on fire with his teaching, with the acts that he did. And he was preaching only to the Jewish people, but that was never God's intention that would be the only people who would receive the gospel. Before the worlds were created, all people, God said, were going to have an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom, to be his children. And I think we can say kingdom, and that all sounds good, but there's something better when we say sons of God. I'm proud to be American, but I'm more proud to be a son of God. And we need to realize that this mystery that he's talking about here, his will was that everyone, now he's talking to the Ephesian brethren, who are they? Yeah, they're Greek Gentiles. And so Paul is teaching them and said, you know, Christ died for you too. And that is something that the Jews, wait, we are God's chosen people. These people aren't. And we have to wrap our arms around also the fact that all people have the same opportunity that we do. Mary and I saw a sign, and we discussed this a little bit last night on a car, that freedom of religion means all religions. And freedom of religion means that we have freedom of religion, but the all religions part, you know, we'll get a little bit further into the oneness in Christ as we get on in the lesson. According to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Now, how many bodies are we to have? Everybody's to be a part of the one body, and we need to search the scripture and find out just exactly how we become a part of that one body. But we can be a family of God. What is meant by the mystery of his will? That all people would have an opportunity to be sons of God. Can any of you fully comprehend the love and wisdom of God and his plans for man? If you can, tell me about it. What does it mean to you?
You know what? I don't even really want to, because when I want to, I'm going to come full of myself. So I don't understand God fully, but I accept it for what it is.
Yeah. And, you know, we try to, I think it's in man that he wants to have complete understanding of all things. We talk about cats being curious. Well, you know, you cats are really curious too. You know, we all are curious and want to know the answer to all of our questions. And we have to realize we won't get those answers until we can ask our Heavenly Father, in heaven. And then he'll share those things with us as he feels we ought to know them. And so, the wisdom of God is beyond comprehension. We all develop plans. The light bulb. How many plans did man have before he got it right? God got it right off the jump go.
I don't know about you, but I'm about ready to give up plans.
Yeah.
They never work out anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But what was it, Edison that said that he had failed 1,000 times, but he learned something every time. Never gave up, you know. So we need to be that type of person that we would continually strive for wisdom, but never give up in our pursuit of the wisdom of God. What is meant by the term in the fullness of time? I'm sorry?
The right time.
The right time. God's time. You know, those are, you know, his plan, you know, looking back, you know, hindsight's 20/20, you know, they always say. But looking back, we can see this plan all coming together. If I had been a Jew back in the days of Moses, or even before then, I don't know if I had the courage to walk down that Red Sea with the waters up on each side higher than I could even jump up and touch. I don't know if I'd had the faith to do that or not. God, as he has put pieces, parts together until this time, I think that we have it easier than any people who have ever lived to know and find out what God wants us to do. You know, we have... How many of you know how many Bibles you have in your house? You know, we have material here. We have opportunity to study. We have opportunity to read what people have wrote, you know, through the passing of time, commentaries. Again, those are commentaries of men. The book is the only book that is inspired of God. And we need to constantly study and try to get in tune to what God wants us to do and stop listening so much to man, to the preachers on TV, to what I want, but seek what God wants for us. And that is such a blessing. In Galatians 4 and verse 5, Paul writes, But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as son. Again, this bears out what was said a few minutes ago by Chuck. When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. His time. He knew that this was the time. Not because of all the happenings in the world, but because he knew it before the world began. That's awesome. Powerful. I can't wrap my mind around it. I'm not that smart, but God is. And in his wisdom, he did that. Why? In order that we might become sons of God, adopted through the blood of the Lamb. Not, Jesus is the only begotten of the Father, but we can become children through his blood. What is meant by the phrase that he might gather in one all things in Christ? Nobody can be in Christ except through one way. And again, that's following God's plan of salvation. We've got to hear the message. Call us five steps if you want to, but you've got to hear what the Bible has to say. You've got to open your mind to it.
To me, it says you got many parts, but they all work as one. In the world, we've got many parts, but they all have their own agendas.
Okay. To a certain extent, I agree with the statement, but if we're seeking our own will rather than God's will, we can't be a part of that one body.
We all are made different, but yet we have one goal, that's God's will.
Yeah, yeah.
Proverbs 8, the glory of God.
But it does make a difference, though, what we're following. And we've got to make sure we're doing it the way he has commanded us to do it. Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, there is one body, one spirit, just as your call and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, and who is above all and through all and in you all. If you look at what Paul says here, and someone else is going to teach this lesson, I don't know exactly who's going to be covering that. But the oneness, God says there's one way. You've got to do things God's way. Not my way, not man's way, but God's way. And when you do that, then all those things that God has commanded will come together. All people, all nations have the opportunity to become sons of God through Jesus Christ. I ought to say in Jesus Christ, God's Son. Verse 11. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. I really like the word chosen better than I do predestined, because of the idea that people have as far as predestination is concerned. There's only going to be 144,000 who are going to be saved, and God has determined that before the world ever began. And so if you're lucky, you'll be part of that 144,000. But God has chosen everybody who has ever lived to be a part of his family. Will we choose to follow his will? You know, we're not a biblical term, but a term that everybody's probably heard a thousand times or more. We're free moral agents. We can make our choices. And sometimes I wish I didn't have freedom of choice. I wish that God just said, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do, and I do it. But I choose. Just like we chose as we were growing up. Mom and Dad told us to do what they told, and we did it as long as they were looking. And then we tried to sneak around and do what we wanted to do. And sometimes we paid the price for it. The price is going to be a whole lot worse on that day of judgment if we fail to choose to do things God's way. It won't be a spat on the bottom or a belt to our backside or even a switch. I've had all three, thank you. Don't want any more. But it's a whole lot worse. Things can be a whole lot worse. We are to do as he has told us to do. We have obtained an inheritance, being chosen, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. That's a powerful statement there, and one we should really think about. And there's a blessing there that we have obtained an inheritance through becoming a part of Christ's body, the church. In Christ, we have that hope. And again, this last phrase here, that we should be the praise of his glory. We glorify God in Christ. That's the only way we can glorify God. He sent Jesus to show us how to live. Jesus died for our sin. He was buried, and God raised him from the dead. Christ now sits at the right hand of God to make intercession on our behalf. We glorify God when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior and continue to glorify him as we live our lives as a Christian. Verse 13, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What's that mean? What'd they do? Yeah.
He made us a temple.
Right. And the only way that the Holy Spirit comes to us and in us is something that he has taught us the way, and we recognize that we have not become a Christian, and it's necessary for us to be a Christian, to follow the again, God's plan of salvation. Leo Bowles says, in Christ we are admitted to the ranks of the chosen people, the special possession of God. We get heaven and God gets us. I like that statement. Those who are in Christ are inherited. Who did Christ say he would send to guide the apostles in the doctrine? The Holy Spirit. You know, he said God, he would send the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. Who guides us today? Again, it's the Holy Spirit as we read and follow the Word. We should always be thankful for the gospel message. More than any other people, Christians are shown the love of God, Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has for mankind as we read the words of the gospel. Truly, we are a peculiar people who have been set aside for the glory of God. Next week, Doug will be up, relying on prayer, Ephesians 1, 15 through 23. Ring bell. Anybody have any questions? Comments? Sorry it took 2 weeks for this lesson, but I felt it was necessary. Thank you.